Let's turn to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Thought I'd continue a little bit more on forgiveness, as we touched on last week. Some things were kind of running through my mind as I was going back over things, and I thought it might help us to do well. What is forgiveness? And we talk about it. We've looked at it some, you know. But what is forgiveness? And I bring us here just to look at a verse, Luke 23, verse 34. As we see Christ on the cross, he says, "Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiments and cast lots." Christ makes that statement on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," referring to those that had crucified him. Did they know what they were doing? In a sense, yes. I mean, if you would have asked them, "What are you doing?" "We're crucifying these three men. We're putting them on crosses, and this is our means of death for them because they deserve the death penalty." But what is he really referring to?
Their hearts.
Did they really know what they were doing? No. They didn't understand that this was the Messiah, that this was God robed in human flesh. But note, though, that he says, "Father, forgive them." So I thought we would look at what is forgiveness by looking at, in our New Testaments, and that's where I'm wanting to focus. I mean, I realize we do have the Old Testament with forgiveness as well, but looking at the New Testament on this is to look at the Greek words that are underlying of the words forgive in our English. And there are three that do this, and I think it is helpful then to understand what forgiveness is by understanding the meaning of the words. I mean, we can look at the English word forgive, obviously, but since we're dealing with this from our Christian perspective, from a biblical perspective, it does us well then to look at the underlying, in this case, again, Greek words. And I believe it helps us to understand, particularly the progression. I found this interesting because I thought, you know, I've never really looked at this. And to see just what are these underlying words, what do they mean? They're used rather broadly, but I think it'll help us to understand then as we look at forgiveness, the content of it. So first of all, turn back to Luke chapter 6, verse 37. And someone that finds it, if you'd like to read it, go ahead.
"Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven."
Okay, and in Luke 6, and this word is not used that much for forgiven or to forgive, but this Greek word is apoluo. It's a compound word, but it means to set free or to let go free, release, to remit a debtor. And that is not to press one's claim against him to remit his debt. Luo means to loose. The apa is a prefix it goes with. It just emphasizing that, to set free. Do we see that concept when we think of forgiveness? We are we not? I mean, look back to our account last week in Matthew chapter 8. Did the man release him of his debt? Yes, he did. He owed him quite a bit, and he forgave him that debt. He released him. He set him free from that obligation. So it's helpful then to, again, I think, process, if you will, this forgiveness, that sometimes this particular Greek word is translated as forgive. It may mean release, to set free in other cases, depending on, obviously, the context. But I find it interesting that they use that concept as we consider forgiveness, is that releasing, to set free that obligation, that debt. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. You know, we went through this as we went through the Sermon on the Mount. But come back to, and if somebody finds that first, go ahead and, if you don't mind, reading it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. It's part of the Lord's Prayer, as we call it.
"Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors."
Okay, here's our second Greek word, "forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." It's used twice there, just like it was in Luke 6:37. Same word for both of those places, since they have forgive twice. And this is aphemi. It means to send forth, to yield up, to expire, to let go, to give up a debt, forgive, or to remit. Very similar to our other Greek word, but in a different vein. The noun form means to release from bondage or imprisonment, forgiveness or pardon of sins, letting them go as if they had never been committed, remission of the penalty. I think we see a little more emphasis on that, if you will, particularly on the punishment as it's noted in this definition, the remission of the penalty, of understanding, you know, that it's one thing to let go, but there is nothing that's being tied to it. There's no strings attached. We are releasing you, and that forgiveness, that pardon is complete as we forgive someone. And so I think it helps us to then understand, am I forgiving someone? I mean, that's sometimes a question, you know, did I really forgive them? Well, stop and think. What is forgiveness? Have I done this? If I haven't, then have we forgiven? Not really. If we're not seeing this whole understanding come through, then yes, there's still something holding on. The last word, which we find forgiveness a little bit more often translated, is, I think, the kind of the icing on the cake, if you will, the cherry on top. And that is, turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. I think it is the capstone, and I think it underlies how we as believers can forgive. Ephesians chapter 4, excuse me, verses 31 and 32. Again, if somebody finds that, go ahead and read those two verses.
Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you.
Okay. Again, both forgivings are the same Greek word underlying. But notice, I brought in verse 31 because it gives us some concepts, some sins, if you will, that need to be put away from us with all malice. And he says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We see a twofold thing there. We see the word forgiveness and forgiving, which we'll look at the Greek word in a moment. But who is our pattern?
Christ.
We can forgive. Why? Because Christ forgave us. And that has always been the pattern. But I find that our Greek word here is charizomai. It comes from the family of Greek words where we get charis, where we get the word grace. What is grace? What's our kind of stand pat, short definition of grace?
Unmerited favor.
Specifically, whose unmerited favor? God's unmerited favor, as we look at it here. But I found that interesting. Again, I haven't looked at those words for forgiveness to see just where it's coming from, but I was really taken by that, and yet stop to think about it. It is God's grace that we are forgiven, is it not? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God is gracious. Did he have to forgive us?
No.
Did he have to provide a means of salvation for us? No. But God, in his unmerited favor, did so. And we have, again, this word for forgiveness being tied then to God's grace. And indeed it is. Can we think of some times when we have had a hard time forgiving someone? I'm sure we, you know, I'm seeing many hot heads nodding, yes. I mean, we start thinking back, and yeah, there were some times it was having a hard time forgiving. And yet, can we forgive? Yes, we can. Why? Because of what he tells us right here. Because we've been forgiven. God has forgiven us our sins when we trusted Christ as our Savior. He's wiped the slate clean, if you will. Jim.
You know, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and forgive us our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
So, yes.
And yet there's verses in the Bible that says, forgive one another, and even so God will forgive us.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my question is our lack of forgiveness for somebody, does that affect God's forgiving us?
Well, we saw that last week in Matthew chapter 15, the very last verse, verse 35. If we're unwilling to forgive someone else, God's going to withhold his forgiveness. We tend to forget sometimes that our vertical relationship, us and God, is tied to our horizontal relationship, us and our fellow men. Where's it tied to? Where's the intersecting point? Me. I mean, it's from me to God, and it's from me to you. The intersection is me. And yes, it's in the shape of the cross. But he reminds us that it's us. It's our attitude. And when we are hurting here, it's going to affect this, our relationship with our God, our fellowship. And vice versa. If we're not right with God, are we going to be right with our fellow man? No. When we're out of sorts with the Lord, whatever the case may be, we tend to take it out on those around us. Do we not? We tend to. It doesn't mean that we always do, but that often tends to be what we do. We take it out on them. We're not going to take it out on God, but, you know, I'm out of sorts with God, but I haven't gotten that right. And so we too oftentimes forget that this relationship is tied to each other. And forgiveness really is at the crux of it all. Because if we're unwilling to forgive here, it's kind of hard to then go to God and ask for forgiveness when we've been exposed to something that we've done wrong, and we seek his forgiveness if we haven't done here. As we noted last week, there's the account, the story of the man bringing his gift to the temple and realizing he had something wrong with his fellow man, and so he stopped the gift with God and went back to take care of the problem with his fellow man, so that now he could come with a clean heart, a whole heart, and freely give it to God. But forgiveness is, we find this here, and as we stop to consider this, we can forgive because God has forgiven us. He has given us the ability to do so because it's his grace that he imparts to us to give us that strength, that ability to say, yes, I forgive you. Whether that is in a personal relationship, somebody's come to us and they're asking for forgiveness. But ultimately, to give that forgiveness, whether they ask for it or not. Because there may be circumstances where that interpersonal relationship, communication may never happen. But we need not hold on to that And I would call it a root of bitterness and hold on to it. We need to release it, to let it go. And say, yes, God, I forgive that person. I release them. I'm not going to hold them to the things that we have. But we find that, you know, forgiveness is indeed grace from God to us. When we are forgiven by God or we extend forgiveness to others, truly we see grace in action. And what a joy to use that, and I say use that in God's way, because it demonstrates to those around us who's at work in our lives. God is, yes, Christ. Because do others know when we have problems with other people?
Sometimes.
Yeah, usually. Whether they see it, whether they hear about it. But if we're willing to forgive and show that forgiveness, it bears an impact then on the others. Yes, with that person that we're dealing with, trust, but also those that are outside looking in, if you will, and see how it's handled. How in the world could that person forgive that person? Let me tell you how that can happen. Because God's forgiven me. And because of that, God's given me the ability to use that same forgiveness that he gave me and give it to those around me. But as we look at forgiveness and the importance of it, I mean, we see these concepts as releasing, you know, removing ourselves of the obligation for retribution, if you will, or whatever, you know, whatever the reason for the forgiveness is, releasing that, but ultimately understanding that it is because of God's grace that I can do that. Because often, if you think about it, do we have it with our own power to forgive? In our flesh, do we really want to forgive? No, we don't. We like to hold on to that, don't we? We want to try to use it and hang it over the head of that person. Exact as much retribution as what they inflicted in us in pain. That's the natural man. Because he wants turnabout is fair play. But God hasn't done that. God's forgiven us. And we have that principle, that truth laid out for us that empowers us to do the same as God did for us. Let's look at the importance of forgiveness on our side. I find that forgiveness is really more important for us as opposed to the person that we forgive. Jim.
On a personal note, and I'm not trying to steal a show here, but on a personal note, there's one time somebody really hurt me badly, and I was angry, and I knew that I needed to forgive that person, but at the time, I could not do it. As a Christian, I could not do it, and you know, you talked about, you know, if somebody hurt us, it has been hard to let go, and I struggled.
Yeah.
It took a long time. And I prayed and I prayed and I kept asking God, God, give me the grace to forgive this person and really mean it and really be able to forgive him and mean it, you know. Now, I could say I forgive you, but I didn't mean it, you know. And I knew that my heart wasn't right. And I struggled for probably a year, you know. And finally, after praying and I was guilty, and I knew that I needed to do it. And finally, God gave me the grace. After a lot of prayer and God's help, I was finally able to forgive that person and mean it and forget it and walk away from it, you know. But and that was such a relief.
Yes.
When that finally happened, but I was under a guilt trip for a long time, just trying to. I said, Lord, this thing's bigger than I am. I need your help. Please help me. And eventually, He did, and I'm grateful for that. But it is tough.
Yeah. I mean, as we look at this, it's not an easy thing to forgive because we are human. We have that mindset. And so as we look at this, it may seem easy, if you will, as we look at the scriptures, as we see these truths. But we all know that it's not. But we have a God who is gracious, who we need to go to. And we may need to cry out for him. God, give me your grace. Give me your strength. Give me your ability to forgive. Because I know it's the right thing to do. I know it will help me far more than it will help them. Because it releases up. But as we look at the importance of forgiveness, there is freedom is given to the forgiver. As again, Jim's kind of getting a little ahead of me with that thought, but it releases us. I mean, as we looked at the word meanings, it's typically referring to the person who owed us, if you will, and we release them of it. But there's also our release as we let go and we don't hold whatever it is you want to call it, holding a grudge. We release that, and that is such a relief to have that go. That burden, that weight that is consciously upon us because we don't forgive. We're released of that. Forgiveness serves as a liberating force for the soul. Harboring resentment is akin to consuming poison while expecting harm to befall another. I like that. Because that's what's happening. If we're holding on to this and not willing to let it go, it is usually in the hopes that we're harming that person who harmed us. But in reality, we're just hurting ourselves. Because it's our emotions, it's our spiritual life, it's my life that I am hurting because of that resentment, because of that I'm holding on to. It's hurting me, not them. And so, yes, it's like consuming poison while expecting harm to befall the other person. It ensnares the individual in a cycle of pain and anger, obstructing their ability to experience peace and joy. I dare say, much like Jim, all of us can think of a time when we may have struggled in giving forgiveness. Did we have peace and joy? We didn't. We were struggling. Why? Because we were holding on to it. We weren't willing to release it, to let it go.
How?
I'm going through
it. Sure. Like, I left my last job, gave my 2 weeks, two Thursdays ago, because I couldn't let go of how they fired 5 people last March.
Right.
My mom included. They released me early last Tuesday. Started my new job Wednesday because God provided that.
Amen.
But I'm still harboring that resentment towards my last place. And I'm just, God will take care of you. God will take care of me. I understand that. I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a huge part of me where I'm just like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm younger in all this. And I'm twisted on this.
I understand. I wouldn't necessarily say it's easier because I'm older, other than I've been through it a few more times. And I've learned from the previous ones that I need to let go faster than I did before.
Is there a timeline?
There's no timeline. But as Jim just said, take it to God in prayer. He will give you that release. I can promise you that, Austin. He will give you the means to do so. Yeah. I mean, that's not a pipe dream to say, take it to God in prayer. That is holding on to the truth, because he will do it. He forgave you your sins when he saved you. And based on that, he will give you the grace to let go.
I don't mean to overshare.
No, no, that's fine. I mean, the context, this is where you're at. So, yes, I mean, you want some answers, and to me, that's where the answer is. It always lies with God. We always take it to God in prayer. As we see in Philippians chapter 4, be careful for nothing. Be anxious. Don't worry about anything, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we take it to God in prayer always. And the peace of God, the promise in the next verse, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts in mind. God's peace will come, and it will guard you. That word there in Philippians speaks of that peace being a garrison around you, a fortress. And God will do that because he just promised us in that verse. You bring it to me in prayer, and I will give you the answer to it, and I will give you my peace to it. And so I would encourage you, and I would say for the rest of us, you know, to uphold him in prayer. Because if we don't, and we keep harboring that it doesn't help you in the long term. And so I would encourage us to pray that the Lord will bring release as we look at this. Yes, Brad.
I had a little preacher told me something 2 years ago that's always stuck with me, and he said, if you don't forgive somebody, you're in bondage to that person until you
mm-hmm.
or yes. that situation.
Who
wants to be in bondage to somebody that you feel like's done you wrong?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're controlling you. Controlling your thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to sit here and say you forgive somebody, but when you truly do, it does release you.
Mm-hmm. It does. As I continue my thoughts here, as we talk about this poison, it ensnares the individual in a cycle of pain and anger, obstructing their ability to experience peace and joy. Conversely, forgiveness unshackles one from the burdens of bitterness, frees us to experience God's grace, peace, and mercy. And so we take that time. And so, yes, we do take it to God. And it may be that we take it to God several days, several weeks. I mean, Jim talked about it taking a year. But we must stay at it until we get that answer. Because God will give us the answer. Yeah.
Sometimes when you realize that person has their own problems and you pray for them, that helps
mm-hmm.
also.
Yeah. We see with this importance there is a restoration of relationships. Forgiveness lays the groundwork for reconciliation. While reconciliation may not always be feasible or advisable, where it is achievable, forgiveness provides the foundation for rebuilding trust and fostering understanding. And so that forgiveness we give already, not when they come to us, but that forgiveness needs to be already in place in our minds. Think of the prodigal son. As we see that account, that story, did he hurt his father? Yes, he did. I mean, he said, I want mine now. And off he goes and lives in riotous living. Did the father forgive him after he asked for forgiveness? He forgave him before, because the son, we'll not go to the story, but as the son comes back, he's wanting to ask for forgiveness, but does he make it through his spiel? No. The father cuts him off. Why? Because he had already forgiven him. The father had released that. He wanted his son back. And so there is, again, that release, that letting go, that unbinding ourselves, as Brad brings out. Because if we're not forgiving, then yes, we're still tied in bondage to that situation. And God has given us the means through forgiveness to break that shackle. And so we're not bound by it to them. We've forgiven them. We've released. We've let go. Amy.
We release it, but we also give it to God, who is the ultimate
yes.
judge,
mm-hmm.
and will judge justly.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
It's not just that you forget it or let it go as if it never happened. You release it to the one who knows and can do way more than we ever could.
Yes. Yes, I mean, there is that mindset, too, that we have, that, you know, and God can. You know, God can take care of those bad situations that we have come across, that we've had to forgive and move on. God will take care of the wrong. It may not happen in our lifetime, but remember, there is the ultimate judgment coming when every one of us will stand before God. And so as we look at those situations and we can see things happen wrongly and we want justice, we can forgive and realize God will take care of the justice aspect of that. But it'll be in His timing, and His timing is always better than ours. Marcia.
Mm-hmm. If it's something blatant, but I feel like if you can approach them and just say, wow, you hurt me, or you did this, and maybe they're like, really? But my experience was with my own dad, and I waited 40 years, and I finally said, I have to go. And then I did. And then when he gave me nothing to go on, I finally could say, I've done my part.
Mm-hmm.
So it's over now.
Yeah.
But I think if you can approach the person and just even say, as a Christian, wow, you've hurt me, you've hurt my family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I mentioned here, you know, while the reconciliation may not always be feasible or advisable, where it is achievable, that's helpful. I mean, there are times when that we can't. There is going to be no true reconciliation.
But you have peace.
Yes, you have the peace about it because you've done what you can.
And it's over.
Yeah, you've done what you can. You've released it. So we need to work towards those things. But again, always with God there to help us, because He will. Colossians chapter 1, I'll read these two verses. We're not done yet, but our time is going by quickly. Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13 are kind of Paul's link between Colossians and Ephesians. This is similar to Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32. As you read those two epistles, there's a lot of similarities. They're both prison epistles, so they were written within a short period of time, kind of back-to-back to each other. But Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, he says, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." So again, very similar to what we saw in Ephesians 4, verse 32. But notice in talking to the Colossians, he talked about putting on certain things, in essence, in preparation for the forgiving. The other was, you know, put away the malice and those things. But he notes here the bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Does that sound a little bit like Galatians chapter 5 and the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness. Yes. This is putting on Christ, if you will. This is putting on what God has for us, the truths that he has, the things that he wants us to learn and mature with so that we can forgive, because we're putting on Christ ultimately. And he will empower us to then turn around and forgive. Yes.
What verse was that in Colossians?
Colossians 1, 12 and 13. Chapter 3? Yeah, okay, thank you. I knew that. Why didn't my notes change? Let me change my notes. I know I changed it in my notes. Okay, sorry about that. Thank you. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. That does sound better to put on. But as we put on Christ, he is the one who forgave us. And he will give us then the ability to forgive because he has forgiven us. There's that restoration. We reflect the grace, mercy, love of our Lord when we forgive. Again, we're showing Christ-likeness. And yes, we can want that, and we can struggle with that. And we will. I mean, as I think we've all kind of attested to, as we've given some examples, whether we're young or old, this will always be a struggle for us. It may not be as long a struggle when we're older, but it will still be a struggle because we're still human. We still, that old nature wants to rise up and get in here and, I want to take the lead again. And God has to remind us, no, I do a better job. Trust me. Rely on me. I will take care of this. And there is always that struggle, which brings, as I often will do, brings us back to Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. The struggle we have in our flesh, we will always have it. And we take it to God in prayer. Always. And God will give grace. God will give strength. And we will see the victory come. The steps towards forgiveness. Forgiveness may not always be immediate or straightforward. We need time to pray and consider what is to happen. Whether it is quick, whether it's long-term, prayer is the key. I can't emphasize that enough for us as believers. Because prayer takes us to the throne of God. It brings us to him, the one who has all the answers, who has the means to help us, and is ready and willing and able to help us, to give us what we need to forgive, gives us whatever we need to do, whatever we need to do, not just in this area of forgiveness, but everything within our life. And so it is, to me, such a joy to spend that time with God in prayer over these things. And it may be, again, day after day after day, but God knows, and he will provide in his timing. May we not give up, but may we keep at it until we get that answer. God may be teaching us things that we don't realize we need until after he shows us that, oh, yes, you needed this. That's why I, in essence, held out for a while to bring you the answer, because you needed something else along the way. And so I'm providing that for you. But we need that time to pray. We need to acknowledge the hurt. How often we haven't acknowledged the hurt. But we do need to acknowledge the hurt. There's nothing wrong with that. whether it's to that person and we have that opportunity, or whether just to ourselves and to God. But confronting and acknowledging the pain experience is an essential precursor to the forgiveness. Denying or suppressing emotional responses serves only to prolong the healing process. Transparency with oneself and with God regarding the depths of the hurt is imperative. We do need to understand that. Yes, I was hurt. Now God help heal the hurt. Again, bringing it to God. We need divine assistance. And thankfully we have it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God's given us that promise. We can take these verses to God and say, God, you've told me this. And we can hold him to it and he will fulfill his promises. We need not think that I can't bring these verses to God. Yes, you can. God, you've told me you will supply my needs. I need. God, help me. And he will. Forgiveness frequently requires spiritual intervention, praying for strength to release anger and for the grace to perceive the offender through God's perspective is a valuable practice. Taking it to God in prayer, taking that person to God in prayer, asking God to work in their hearts. They've hurt me. God, deal with them as you deem best and fit, but help me to release so that we can, yes, release this offender, release ourselves, and get us out from underneath that burden, if you will. Our Savior, as we saw in Luke, shows us the way. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Christ forgave those that stood by and crucified him. And I would say, in implication, that refers to all those that are involved in his crucifixion. Not just the centurion and the guards there, but the chief priests and scribes, the Sanhedrin, Pontius Pilate, all those involved in putting him on that cross, he freely forgives them. We need to let go. We find ourselves in a much better frame of mind when we do, when we seek that forgiveness, as we seek God to help us with that forgiveness. It puts us in a much better frame of mind. And we who have done it know that, and that we can build on. Because is somebody going to wrong us again? As long as we have life and breath, there's going to be somebody wronging us again. And if we've gone through it once, and we know the peace, the relief, the joy, the comfort, the strength that comes when we forgive, that builds for the next time. God did it then. Can God do it again? Yes. And he will, because he's promised. He's a faithful God. So I trust that we can learn from that and understand these truths. Again, it's not something that happens overnight that's all of a sudden real easy to do. It's not. It's never going to be. But we do have a God that we can go to who will help us because he's promised. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the time that we've had this morning. As we've looked at forgiveness, we thank you that, Father, you have forgiven us. And, Father, you have given us the ability then to forgive others who have wronged us. You didn't say it would be easy, but, Father, you did give us the promise that we can and that you will empower us to do so. And, Father, I pray that we would seek you for truly our own benefit. Because if we hold on to those things, they just become a root of bitterness. They sour us in our Christian walk. Christ is not seen that well in us. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us to release, to let go, to forgive. Father, we think of Austin and the things that he's going through. Father, we know that you will help him, and I pray that you would guide and direct. Help us to uphold him in prayer. We thank you that we can not just share these things and remind us, but Father, it does help us to realize, you know, we all have gone through these things. We've all gone through similar situations. And your grace, your strength, your mercy was there to help. And it helps the rest of us to see if God can do that for them, then God can do it for me. So, Father, I pray that you'd go forth. Bless the time that we have. Pray for the coming message. Challenge and stir our hearts as we look once again into thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.